to a new study theme, and I really took a long time trying to make sure and find the will of God for the theme each month. And this month, I chose the topic of the overcomer. Amen. We're in a fight. You know that? We are in a fight. Amen. But the Bible says, he that overcome, those that endure, to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. We're so good. Glad to see Brother Ken here. I know he was sick. Amen. Glad to see him. Amen. He that endureth to the end. It's a fight. Amen. Anyone don't know it's a fight? You just having life easy, no problems? It's a fight. Amen. And so this week we're going to start the topic on the overcomer. And I'm going to go to the Old Testament to show you that our Christian life is a journey. We're on a journey. And it's really modeled so beautifully in the Old Testament. My theme scripture for today is 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, I'm a big fan of knowledge, and I study the Bible incessantly, but that will not save me. You're not saved by knowledge. You're saved by faith. Let me say it again. I study the Bible, and I study, and I spend hours and hours and I try and extract every... But you know, in the end, what saves us is faith. We will not be able to work out every last detail. We will not have all the understanding of the whys and wherefores. And so we will at some point have to walk by faith. And this is the victory. This is the victory. We should take time to really study this scripture. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And Tuesday night I taught about the tree knowledge. And looking and walking by our senses, you know, the world will say, hey, you're not in reality. You need to face facts. Well, that's their facts. You know, we have some facts that are above those facts because they're spiritual. The Bible says the spiritual things are not discerned by the carnal man, the normal man. When you're looking at your situation, it looks impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Meditate upon that this week. Just say that to yourself. This is the victory that overcometh the world. You want to be an overcomer? This is the victory. You have to have faith, even when it looks hopeless, when there doesn't seem to be no... I faced many of those situations where all I could do was get on my face and cry out to the Lord. But it's in those situations when we become desperate, when we have no other thing but to trust God, is when he shows up. You see, when we're only lukewarm in praying, well, Lord, I just want you to do, you know, that's the kind of prayer that he's not interested in. He wants all of your prayer. Amen. And this is such a great scripture to meditate on. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. This, it's not through knowledge. It's not through, yes, it's good. The Bible says study to show yourself a workman approved, right? So we should study. But in the final analysis, this is a walk of faith. I won't be able to explain to you every single meaning and scripture because I'm not God. His ways are what? Not my ways. I cannot understand all of God's reasonings and the reason why he did this, why he chose this. But we will have to believe. Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that what? That's the key. When you become diligent, when that's all you're thinking about, Lord, you got to show up. When your mind is focused on him, I tell you what, he has never let me down. Never, ever let me down. I testified about my exam when I was 18, how the Lord did miracle after miracle in my life. And I view myself as blessed, not because I'm special. All of us are special in his sight. But I'm special in that I'm an example of his mercy. Amen. I feel God has shown me the greatest mercy compared to some people. And that just blesses my soul. But if we look at this scripture, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if you're facing something today, and you don't know what to do, just put it in God's hands and say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but Lord, I know you can work this out. I know you can take me through. So I said that this is a journey, and this is modeled in the Old Testament in the journey from Egypt to Canaan. They had a series of events that happened, starting from the night they left to get to the promised land. And even when they got to the promised land, it wasn't over. There was a fight. There was a fight. So we're going to examine that this week as a model of the overcomer. 1 Corinthians 10:11 explains that what's in the Old Testament was there as an example. God has already showed us in types and shadows how to be an overcomer, how to get through some of the things that Satan wants to do to us. He showed us through the example of the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened unto them for what? It says examples. And they are written for our admonition, so that we can learn. See, it's a fool that doesn't learn from someone else's example. If you have to learn from your own example, it could be painful. Right? But they say, good judgment comes from bad experience, one would hope. But some people do not learn. They keep doing the same thing, as they say, and expect a different outcome. Well, that's not how life works. You keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same bad outcome. You have to change if you want something different in your life. Now, all these things happened unto them for an example. And they are written, they were recorded for our admonition. That means for our learning, our understanding, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We're living in the last days, and we need to take those lessons seriously. Okay? So let's look at these. That word example or ensamples in the King James Version means types. So when we look at the story in Exodus about them leaving Egypt, Egypt represents what? Sin. Sin, a state of sin. We all start off not coming from somewhere. Before we get saved, we're in a state of sin, a state of unbelief, a state of rejection. And the journey from Egypt to Canaan represents our example and admonition. Now, in truth, that journey, you could do it in maybe 4 or 5 days. Think about it. In 4 or 5 days, they could have gone from where they crossed all the way to Canaan. But in the end, how long did it take them? Actually, it took them more than that. It took them 2 years to get to the border. Then they sent the spies, and the spies came back, and then 40 years. So it was actually 42 years it took them. A lot of us are like that. Instead of being blessed by God, we could have, many years ago, have gotten so far down in God's will. It's taken us a long time through many experiences to become overcomers. We need to learn to shorten the journey. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. And I call this the overcomer's journey. First of all, we have to leave Egypt. When you start on this Christian walk, you have to leave Egypt. You can't stay in Egypt. You can't have what's in the world and what God wants for your life. It will not work. Yes, there were many things in Egypt that they liked. It's funny how the memory always plays tricks on you. It's always called the good old days. But you know, if you really thought about it, it wasn't all good. You know, the brain filters out all the negative things, and we say, man, the good old days. But really, you want to go back to the good old days? You really would like to go back to high school? You really want to go back through some of the things you've been through? I wouldn't. Once they came out of Egypt, all they could remember was the onions and the food. They forgot the slavery. They forgot the whippings. They forgot the taskmasters. But we need to leave Egypt behind. Exodus 12:29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. There were no exceptions. There was no special people. Well, I'm the king. I'm not going to be in trouble. I will get out of this. No. It's when God brings judgment, he's even Stevens. You haven't done what he tells you to do, it doesn't matter who you are. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. I was thinking about, as the testimony this morning was going on, about how many families have been touched by someone being murdered. And there's probably a lot in this church who know someone or have a family member who has been murdered. This is why you got to leave Egypt. This is why we got to get out of Egypt symbolically and spiritually. You see, if you stay in Egypt, there was not a house. Look at this. There was not a house where there was not someone who was dead. Verse 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up. God is speaking to us. Get up out of Egypt. Maybe there's still some Egypt places or things or thoughts or directions we're still holding on to. But if you want to be an overcomer, you got to leave those things behind. Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as he have said. That's what Pharaoh said. Once he found out that God was real and the judgment was coming, he says, okay, I've had enough. Go. Take your flocks and your herds, as he have said, and be gone, and bless me also. So God put enough pressure that finally they said, go. They said, go. And so they started leaving Egypt. So it seems when we first come to the Lord, initially there's joy and it's easy. And there's that first relationship with God. It seems like everything is going right. Amen. Verse 33 says, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. If these people stay, we're going to be cursed. I'm telling you, when God wants to move you out of a situation, he can do it. He can do it. He can turn around something so fast. For the previous 9 times, they had been trying to get Pharaoh to let them go. But when that final judgment came, they pushed them out. They said, please leave, go, take what you want, get out of here. God will make a way for you to escape Egypt. If you want to be an overcomer, the Bible says in every temptation, he will what? Make a way of escape. But we have to look for it. We have to be ready. It wasn't that they had to now go prepare. It wasn't that it took them by surprise. They were expecting this to happen. Moses had told them already what to do. Pack your bags. Get ready, because this night you're going to leave. This night you're going to leave. See, if we're ready to leave Egypt, God will fulfill his word. You know, if they hadn't been planning it, it could have taken them another 3-4 days. And then Pharaoh would have changed his mind. So when God speaks to you, you have to be ready. You have to get ready. And as I said, the journey starts out well. Exodus 12:35. The children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. That's amazing. Think about it. Their firstborn just died, and they're giving them gold and jewels and clothing. You'd think that they would be mad at them. But you know what? God can change the hearts of people in your favor. He can do that. He can change even your enemies. Amen. You can go into a situation where it looks impossible. You don't think you're going to get favor, and God does it. Amen. I want to talk about my workplace, but I know this is going out over the internet, so I don't know who may say, but you know what? God gives me favor. Amen. God gives me favor. I've said before, sometimes I don't know if I know what I'm doing, but amen. God gives you favor in the time of need. Amen. And so when it says they spoiled the Egyptians, man, they took all the nice things out of Egypt. God blessed them. When they were finally ready to leave, God blessed them. But you know, as soon as you start on this journey, you know who's mad about it? Satan. He doesn't want to see you leave Egypt because he has you in his grip of slavery, of bondage to sin, bondage to addiction, bondage to drugs, bondage to lust. He gets mad. And so you know that on your journey, if you're going to be an overcomer, there's going to be something for you to overcome. And I want to show you something that maybe some of you know, maybe some of you don't. But you know, there were many ways of getting to Canaan that didn't involve going through the Red Sea. They could have gone a much easier way. There was another way still that was a little bit harder. And I'm going to explain to you or show you in Scripture. Maybe you missed this when you were doing your reading the Bible in a year. But I want to bring this to your attention. Exodus 13:17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of Philistines, although that was near. I want to point that out to you. God led them to the Red Sea. Do you remember Psalms 23? Right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God led them to the Red Sea because he had a purpose. Sometimes we're fighting God because we don't like the direction he's going. It doesn't look good. It's a dead end. Right? But if you are truly his servant, then he's leading you. It looked like, God, why did you lead me here? Why did you bring me to Milwaukee? I mean, I didn't know it had all these statistics. I didn't know it was all these bad negative statistics, 40%, black incarceration. So you just go down. Milwaukee has some negative statistics. Why did you lead me to the Red Sea? See, but if we are under the hand of God, he has a purpose, and he has a plan, and he has a direction. Amen. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent. What did he mean? They would change their mind. What he was saying, the Red Sea actually was actually a safer route. You may think, God, why did you lead me here? But actually, God could be delivering you from something worse. God could have led them through the way of the Philistines. But you know what? They weren't ready to fight. They were slaves. They just came out of Egypt. They weren't ready to face an army. God said, peradventure, they will change their minds and say, we got to go back to Egypt. So although they thought the Red Sea was bad, it was actually God's mercy in taking them through so that his hand of deliverance could be plainly seen. Amen? Sometimes we come to a Red Sea and we think, God, why did you choose this? Wasn't there a better way? And the answer is, actually, this may have been the easiest way. This may have been the way that was the least way. We think it's a terrible way. But God was the one that led them into this so-called looking trap. See, Jesus' disciples came to him in the New Testament, and they wanted to have the glory. They wanted to sit on his left and his right-hand side. But if you want glory, you're going to have to go through some things. You have to go through some testing. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what he asked. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? See, what they were saying is, we want the glory. But they didn't realize to get it, you got to go through some things. You can't have a testimony, as they say, without what? A test. A test. You get up on Sunday morning and you tell how God delivered you. That means you went through something. Otherwise, all you're going to do is say, well, I made it another week, which is good. But when you can say, God delivered me, God saved my life, God healed me, God did a miracle, then you have not just been through a test, now you have a testimony. See, so it was God that led them to the Red Sea. God, if you're his child, has a purpose for the things you are going through. Now, sometimes we make bad choices. Sometimes it's not God, it's just our stubbornness, our flesh making choices. But listen, if we are humble, if we will let God lead us, even though it's the shadow of the valley of death, fear no evil. Why? Because he's with them. Amen. So they came to the first test, and the first test was they just come to the borders of Egypt, and now they're trapped. There's mountains on the left-hand side, mountains on the right-hand side, and a sea in front of them. And look what's coming. Pharaoh's army. What are we going to do? I want to show you a parallel in the New Testament. And this is amazing. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. We're all going to be led into a wilderness experience sometime. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit where? Into the wilderness. So if you feel like you're going into a desert and you're saying, God, why? He's got a purpose and a plan. He's got a purpose and a plan. It may not be where we wanted to go. Why into the wilderness? Why into the desert? Here they're coming out of Egypt, and God leads them into a wilderness, into a desert place. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. I was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Exodus 13:18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel, now here's a word, went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. What, you know what that word means? Those that could fight, God had told them, at least get your weapons ready. We, when we're walking, don't just walk about like you're in a daydream. You know, don't walk about. When I first moved to Milwaukee, I had no idea where were the bad parts or the good parts. I had no idea. So I went out one night. This was many years ago. I went out one night just walking around like I'm a tourist in the middle of 3rd Street back in the days when 3rd Street was not a good place. But the Lord protected me. The next day I was talking to someone. They said, so I told them, what, you, where did you go? You went what time? I said, it was like 11 or 12. I was just walking around just because I had no idea. But this was not what God told it. Put on your weapons. Don't be like you're stupid now. Be ready. Be watchful. If you're going to be an overcomer, you don't just daydream through life. You expect that there is going to be an attack because you're on enemy territory. The Bible says, why think it's strange? But we always do. Lord, look what happened to me again. I don't understand. And we moan and we complain. The Bible already told us why I think it's because you're trying to leave Egypt. Pharaoh doesn't want to let you go. And it seems the Lord has led you into a desert place, but he has a purpose. You know why? Because he wants to show you his power. If he led you into a place in an oasis, you wouldn't need God, right? You could fend for yourself. It was plenty of food, plenty of clothes. What need would you have of God? But he led them into a desert place so that they had to depend on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sometimes God wants to show his glory in our lives and his power. So as I said, you go through the test so you can have a testimony. But God led the people through the way. Just as Jesus was led by the... I never understood that. He was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tested. We will have to be tested because Satan is not going to let you go. He's going to put up a fight. He's going to see if you really mean this thing. My dad used to tell a story about the early Christians in the days of Rome when they used to have to hide to have church and go from house to house. And there was a group of Christians in a house having service when there was a bang on the door. And when they looked, it was a whole band of Roman soldiers. And they knocked down the door and the centurion came in. And he says, I'm going to give you all one chance. All of those who are willing to give up Christianity and to denounce Christ, we're going to let you live. You can walk out of here right now. And one or two or three people walked out. And when they'd all gone, he took off his helmet and said, I'm a Christian. But I didn't want to confess to anyone who weren't 100%. He didn't want to reveal himself to unless those who were willing to die. The ones who stayed were saying, listen, okay, you can kill us. We're not going to renounce Christ. See, God is looking for people who are 100%. He's not willing to reveal his power and his blessing and his love to those who are only halfway, who still are not sure about whether they want to serve God. Joshua said, whom will ye serve? Choose ye this day. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. See, we want God's power, but we're not 100%. He will reveal himself to those who are 100% for him. Amen. So sometimes God will lead us into a desert place. But don't be surprised. You know what's about to happen? Some miracles. Because the only way you're going to survive anyway, you might as well just depend on God. Because there's no way you're going to make it by yourself. No way you're going to make it. So you might as well just say, well, God, it's by your power. I'm in your hand. I'm in your hand. So he led them there. And Moses said to the people, they saw now Pharaoh coming behind, the mountains on each side. I'm talking about being a lesson on overcoming. That's what we're trying to get from this. How do we overcome when we're facing a hopeless situation? And Moses said unto the people, first of all, fear not. Fear not. An overcomer is going to have faith conquer fear. You're going to start to speak to yourself and say, well, God, you did this for me in the past. You get me through this. And now I'm facing another situation, but I know you can do it. And you speak to yourself. The Bible says David encouraged himself. And how did he do it? He thought about all the great deliverances and mercies. I just have to start telling people when we have missionaries come and I take them out and they ask me the history of the church. And I, as soon as I start to tell them about one miracle after another, how God has kept us, has put a roof and done such great miracles. You know, I'm surprised to myself. I should have been doing that when no one was here. You have to encourage yourself. Think back to the victories that God has taken you from. This is about being an overcomer. Think of how God delivered you before. David said, he's helped me slay the lion. That's enormous. You think any of us could just in our own self fight a lion? And he's helped me slay a bear. That's what David said. So this Goliath is not going to be a problem. We have to be overcomers. We have to encourage ourselves. Stand upon God's word and the great and marvelous things he has done for us in the past. Moses said, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're in a pickle. You're in a tight place. You know what God's about to do? A miracle. That's all that can happen. That's all that can happen. There's no other way. It's either you die or God does a miracle. That's the three Hebrew boys. It's either we die or God does a miracle. There was no, and it's in those situations where your faith is either going to rise or fall. Listen what Moses tells them. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom he has seen today, he shall see them again no more forever. God, how can you do this? I can see them right now. They're coming and they're mad. They want to take vengeance. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not to human understanding, to your tree of knowledge understanding, to what you can see, because what you can see is not eternal. It is the unseen things, the word of God, that is eternal. Hallelujah. Sister Johnny.
I just want to say something, Pastor. I'm going to cut the story short, though, but it's based on this right here. You know, I told the church about how the Lord gave me that house down the street. And so the people pulled my name from Wells Fargo. I asked them when they came out, you know, like, how did y'all choose me for to come and do all this work to this house? So this lady told me that they pulled my name out of a drawing. And I was like, every time you look around, somebody is pulling my name out of a drawing. So anyway, I'm not prejudiced, but it was six white people and one black one. And so as they clean out my whole attic, my whole basement, did all this work, brought me all this paint, brought me new cabinets for upstairs, downstairs, brought me all the light fixtures. They just brought me so much stuff. And so then they got to a point that they wanted to see how the house looked inside, because they hadn't been inside the house. So they was like, can we take a tour of the house inside? And I said, yes. And so they all came inside, and they were standing around, and they all was talking about how amazed this house looked. They just couldn't even believe how nice this house looked at inside. And so the black lady, she said, you chose a beautiful house. And so the minute she said that, the Lord spoke to me and said, you didn't choose this house. I gave it to you. Aren't you going to tell them? And so I said, I didn't choose this house. I said, the Lord gave it to me. So now I got everybody's attention. They like, everybody's looking at me like, what? The Lord gave it to you. And as I was speaking, the Lord spoke to me and said, this very lady that's talking to you is the very lady who tried for you not to get this house. So then I went to like, oh, that's her. And I was saying to the Lord, that's her. And she was saying, wow, this house is just so amazing. So I got a chance to testify to them as to how the Lord gave me this house. And I'm just running my mouth like, you know, the city didn't really want me to have this house, not knowing that this is the lady right here who tried to stop me from getting the house. And I told them about how the Lord even overstepped the city and still gave me the keys to the house. And so they was just really amazed. I witnessed to them about the house and how God had given me the house. And then she finally said her name. And she said, well, you know, I work for the city. And as I was talking, she said, you know, I work for the city. And I said, you do? And she said, yeah, I'm Deborah. And I said, Deborah? I said, you're the lady who didn't want me to have the house? And she said, yes, I'm sorry. She says, yes, I apologize. That was me. She said, I was being real mean to you. She said, but by any means, God gave it to you.
Amen. Amen. Pharaoh couldn't stop you getting the house. Pharaoh couldn't stop you getting the house. Amen. See, most of the time when we're facing such a situation, you know what happens? We get fearful. Fearful is what we look at it and we think, by natural means, there's no way we can be delivered out of this situation. You know, if you owe 16 months of mortgage and they've already told you they're gonna foreclose, that's an impossibility. With man it is, but with God there's no such thing. No such thing. No such thing. When you line up with what God wants to do, do you know you don't even have to ask? Because God is intending to do something anyway. You're just going along for the ride. When you line up with God's will, you don't even have to ask. You just go along for the ride and you get it free, his blessings, because that's what he was going to do anyway. Amen? That's just God. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. There's a sea there, Lord. You understand that. You understand that there's a Red Sea there. There's a Red Sea and there's mountains and the Egyptians. Speak unto the children and tell them to go forward. You understand where faith comes in. The Lord told them to start walking towards the water. Just like Peter said, bid me to come. You get out your boat. This is where the faith, remember, it's the overcometh by the word of their testimony. God told them, tell them to start walking forward. Go towards your situation. David took the stones and he went towards who? Goliath. But he wasn't intending to get killed because he believed that God was going to do something. And when you exercise faith by stepping towards your situation and not being fearful, that's when the miracle is going to happen. I wanted to show you that God told him, tell the people to go forward. You know, think about it. Where are we supposed to go forward to, Moses? Straight. Walk towards the water. Amen. But here's the thing. The Bible says in Exodus 13:21, the Lord went before them. By a pillar, by day as a pillar of a cloud. I told you about clearing the atmosphere. And to lead them that way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, and to go by day and night. This echoes Psalms 23. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Even when they were not doing right. What has he promised us? Never to leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says he never took the cloud away or the fire. Even when they were not doing right, that still stayed with them for the whole 40 years. Now, you know, for the whole 40 years, they weren't doing right all the time. There were many times they were punished, but the cloud and the fire stayed with them. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. And goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, the overcomer's journey is that even when you may not have been perfect, even when the little child has done wrong, they still run back to the father or the mother, right? Because that's daddy. We need to understand that God loves you. And he has a plan for your life. And if you want to be an overcomer, you have to trust him. Fear not and start walking forward. Well, I'm still going to keep looking after the church's business, even though I'm not paying on my house. I'm going to walk forward. Lord, if I lose it, I lose it. You're going to have to, that's fine. I'm doing something for your kingdom. Amen. When we have that attitude, God is going to show up. He is going to do a miracle. See, all of this was done so that God could set up the symbol of being born again. 1 Corinthians 10:1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, which represents what? The Spirit. See, I put it up there. And the water. They were baptized. See, God led them this way so that they would have to be baptized. That they had to be baptized if they were going to go on this journey as an overcomer and reach Canaan. And the Bible says in even the New Testament that this was a baptism. And all were all baptized unto Moses. And it's the baptism of the Spirit and the water. Because the cloud represents God's Spirit and in the sea. See, it has both parts. It's just like what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:5. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, all these things in the Bible are coherent from Genesis to Revelation. God doesn't change his plan of salvation. They had to be baptized. And so God led them into a situation where they had, the only way they were going to get across was go down into the water. Amen. Shall I tell you something else that an overcomer does? An overcomer gives thanks. Once they saw the miracle, once they got over and they realized what happened, you know what happened? They had a praise service. Once they crossed over and they saw the waters crashing down on their enemy, the Bible says, then sang Moses. And this is really interesting because the Bible prophesies that we're going to sing the song of Moses. Did you know that? It's the song of the overcomer. When we get to heaven, when we look back and realize, and it hits us, that we have finally, finally made it. In the book of Revelation, it says, and they sang the song of Moses. They had a praise and worship service. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. David sang the same song, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? The Bible says that when we get over, when we look back and realize that we have made it, you're not going to be sad. You cannot be sad when you think that you have finally made it. The Bible says we're going to sing the song of Moses. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation.
Sister, Michelle. That reminds me, and it keeps on reminding me, it keeps coming to me, when I first stepped into this building in February, Lord knows I am not that same woman that I was back in February.
Amen.
And I'm just like, Lord knows, I just knew from how many conversations that we've had that I was like, I'm not going to make it through this. I'm not going to make it through this. I can't make it through this. There is no way I could make it through this. I even tried twice this year to commit suicide. And I'm like, why are you keeping me here? Why didn't I succeed? I'm like, you still want me to go through this pain? With her encouragement, with First Lady's encouragement, she was like, start speaking positive. Even if it feels like a lie, eventually it's going to feel like the truth. And so I started speaking, and I'm just like, now I'm here. Still here.
Amen.
And I know God's got some things for me to do.
Amen.
And I'm so, so, so excited about starting this project and about doing things that he wanted me to do. And I'm just like, Lord, equipped me for it. So that just reminds me of, you know, looking back and seeing the water crashing down and closing up on the enemy and on the situation. Because I didn't think I was going to make it through at all.
You're leaving Egypt. You've left Egypt. Amen. 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 I don't know what it will be like when we get to heaven, but just the thought of it, you know, chokes me up. The Bible says that they sang the song. They were in fear that they could have all been destroyed, that they could have been destroyed. But you know what? When they saw the sea coming, and God fulfilled his promise that you will not see your enemy anymore. This is the last time you're going to see him. This is the last time you're going to see Goliath. This is the last time you're going to see that foreclosure person. The last time you're going to hear from the electricity guy. The last time the doctor going to say you got 6 months to live. Amen. You don't fear anymore. Stand still and see the salvation. Amen. There are certain things that for the most part I think I don't fear. And one of them is money. I used to be, but God has done so much miracles for me that even when occasionally it goes into the red and I say, okay, oh, maybe you're like me, you got your bank on your phone and you're looking at it and, oh, the numbers are all red. Oh, well. Now, before I'd have been in a big panic, but I'm not in a panic and I'm still able to help people. Even in a week when it looks like it should be negative and people, because I'm pastor, people are always in need of something. Amen. You know what? But I don't panic anymore because he's done it so many times, Sister Annie.
Yes, you know, it just in my spirit, I just had to come up here because I'm just going to tell what God did for me. My son was killed in 2001, and I had just moved to Milwaukee. So I had just started a job and I didn't have any money. And so everybody was like, well, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? And I was like, I'm just gonna pray. And so I got my check and I went down south with just my check. And everybody know what a funeral costs. So when I got there, I was praying the whole week. And just praying and praying. And when I got there, my son's grandfather says, I need you to fill this paper out right here. And I don't know, I never knew what kind of paper it was, but I filled it out. And I'm telling you, God blessed me. The whole funeral was paid for. And he blessed me with money. I'm telling you, people just give you so much. When they say God will open the windows of heaven and pour that blessing on you that you're not able to receive it, I was tired of taking money. Now, you know you blessed when you're tired of taking money. I came back here with Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets of money, casino bags of money. That's how much money I came back with, and I went down there with just a paycheck.
Amen.
I just had to get up and tell how good God has Amen. Blessed me, and that's why I know.
Amen.
I tell people, I know what God will do.
Amen.
And I just had to get up and say that, because it was just on me to get up and just tell
that's
what
right.
He'll do for you.
Amen. And you know, Sister Annie, I want to declare to you that's not the end of it. He's got some more for you. Amen. Because God knows what you have done. Amen. And your blessing to this church. Amen. You know, it may not be a big thing, but God sees whenever we do something. And he is not going to let him owe you anything. You can't end up owing God anything because he will repay. Amen. They sang this song and listen to what they said. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. You know what that means? I want him to live inside of me. That's what it's speaking. I will prepare him and have an overcomer has a place for God in their life. In fact, that's the only way you're going to overcome. And I will exalt him. I will praise him. I will thank him. I will lift him up. We're not going to finish this morning. But of course, you know that once you get through one test, it's only a little reprieve before the next one. And I can see it in my life. It goes through cycles. You know, I'll get a few months where everything's going good. But I already know, because I'm old enough now, that the next wave is coming. We're in a trough. We're in a peaceful part. But the next wave is coming. Sometimes I can see it. I can know exactly what it is. And there's nothing I can do about it. I see it coming. So you know what? I just relax and say, okay, I'm gonna just wait till it comes. So Moses brought the children of Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And I taught a lesson on this some time ago about the wilderness of Shur. Anyone remember what the word Shur means? Well, I'll tell you, it means a wall. Sometimes after you've gotten through some victory and you're just so happy, it feels like the rug is pulled right from you. And they hit a wall. That's what the Shur means, a wall. They went into the wilderness of a wall. It was an impassable barrier. That's not the way people went when they wanted to cross to go to Canaan. Nobody in their right mind would take that way. That's why it was called the wilderness of Shur. And in the Aramaic, the Hebrew, it means a wall. That's the way they went. And they came to a place called Marah, where there should have been water. And they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. They were brackish. They were undrinkable. And you got a couple million people, or 600,000 people, men and women. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" You know, think about it now. They've seen 10 miracles in Egypt. They've just come and saw the Red Sea parted, and they walked over on dry land. Then they see it supernaturally close over their enemies. But now they come into a desert, and it's hot and sandy and dusty, and they're thirsty. And immediately the flesh takes over. Don't know what I'm going to do. And they started to murmur. Well, I don't know. I prayed. God's not doing anything. I just don't know what I'm going to do. An overcomer will endure to the end. See, this is a test. They say that once a week on the radio. This is just a test. You hear that loud noise. Burp. This is the emergency warning system. If this were real, then we would tell you. I'm telling you, it's a test. It's not real. It's the devil trying to take away your faith. They came to this place called Marah, and Marah means bitter. It's the word from which we get the name Miriam or Mary. And one of the meanings of the word Mary is bitter. Bitter, believe it or not. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What we shall drink?" The journey from Egypt to Canaan is going to be a series of tests. You're never going to get to the place where from now on it's just a cakewalk. Everything's just beautiful, because this is not yet his kingdom. We're on enemy territory. But you know what? We can make it. It's a fight, but we can make it. And they came to Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name is called Marah, which means bitter. And the people murmured, "What shall we drink? What are we going to do? We've come into this desert. Yeah, you delivered us from Egypt, but this is a desert. Where are we going, Moses? This place is called a wall because nobody can get through to the other side this way." See, but God was doing something. You understand, and this is jumping way ahead. You understand that when they did come to Canaan, everybody was afraid of them. All the nations were afraid of them. Why? Because they had done what no nation could possibly do. They had come through the desert. If they had come the easy way, nobody would have even known their name. But because they had survived supernaturally, everybody in Canaan was already afraid of them. Do you understand that? God led them to exalt them, to bring them through miraculous things, so that when they got to Canaan, the Bible said they already were afraid of them. In Jericho, they locked up the doors. Rahab said, we've heard about all the things that happened in Egypt. We've heard about how you killed all the Amorites. We've heard all these miracles. You see, when you come through a miracle, your enemy is going to be afraid of you. Peter we know, and the Andrew we know, but who are you? Does the devil know your name? See, the devils were afraid of Peter and James. They knew about them because, you know what? God had used them already to do some miracles. So the thing that we're afraid of is God elevating us. Is God getting glory through our struggles? We're talking about an overcomer. Amen? So God then tells Moses what to do. See, the bitter waters of Marah, you may come to a place where it's bitter. Life seems bitter to you, and you're struggling, and you're really struggling. But I'm going to tell you how to sweeten it. I'm going to tell you how to sugar it up. And he cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. It was a test. There was a, you know, the song and the film a few years ago, who you gonna call? When there's something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call? Well, it should be Jesus. See, when you go to the waters of Marah and it's bitter, don't call Ghostbusters. They can't really help you. They're on the wrong side. Who you should call is Jesus. And this is what Moses did. This is what an overcomer does. When you come to the end of your rope, when the water is bitter, when you don't know how you're going to make it, Moses knew who to turn to. And God told him what to do. I want you to take this tree. Now, here's a strange thing. They're in a desert, right? And he tells him to take this tree. I want to tell you that that tree was by itself out in the middle of the desert supernaturally. And the Lord showed him a tree. What's the tree doing in the middle of the desert? What I'm trying to tell you is, even though you don't think so, there's a tree there. And his name is Jesus. When you can't find what to do, cry out to Jesus. Take him in to your heart. Let me show you that he is the tree. Isaiah 11 verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch. In the Old Testament, one of the messianic titles for Jesus is a tree, a branch. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jeremiah 23, 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute the judgment and justice in the earth. In Jeremiah 33, 15, in those days and at that time I will cause the branch of the righteous to grow unto David. See, when you are going through some bitterness, you need to turn to Jesus. That's what you need to do. You need to get the branch. So they took from this tree a branch. And they threw it in the bitter waters of Marah. And guess what? The waters became sweet. He will be a water in your desert place. I just put the definition up there for Marah, Mary. It can mean rebellious, rebellion, bitter. They were about to have a coup on Moses. You let us out in this desert place, and now we got no water. What are you going to do? What's the plan here? Sometimes when we are going for God, he doesn't show us the whole roadmap. We have to walk this walk by what? Faith. Faith. But you have to trust him. Amen? This happened in the New Testament. This happened in the New Testament because there was a lady whose name, Marah, Mary. We don't know much about her life. But guess what? There was a branch put in her womb. Jesus. And about the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Her name meant bitter. Or even rebellious, if you want to put it. But guess what? God took the branch and put it in her womb. And changed her life. Amen. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You may have come to some bitter waters now where you don't know. Life is so bitter and you can't drink it. Maybe church doesn't even feel so encouraging to you. But I'm telling you to take Jesus. Take Jesus. Get him inside of you. Into your womb. Into your womb. That's what happened to Mary. The branch was implanted in her womb. And although her name meant originally bitter, God changed it. Same thing with Mary Magdalene. Her name was bitter too. She had seven demons. She was well known as being a harlot. They said, how come this man lets this woman come near him? But she knew something they didn't. And Jesus knew. He says, those who have been forgiven much, love much. She embraced the branch and it changed her bitter life so that she is known. And that Jesus said, wherever the gospel is mentioned, this woman who took the alabaster jar and poured it upon his feet that her name should be called, took a name that means bitter. When you take the branch that is Jesus, it can bring sweetness into your life. So they went through this period of going through from test to test, and I'm almost finished. Exodus 17:5. And they came to another place where they didn't have water. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee. See, God here is setting up a symbol. He said, I will stand before thee upon the rock, and thou shalt smite the rock. And there shall come out water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel. To prove to you that it's Jesus, Jesus said to the woman at the well, listen, if you knew who it was talking to you, you would ask of me, and I would give you what? Living water. When your water in life is bitter, turn to the rock. Turn to Jesus. That's why you got to call out the more like blind Bartimaeus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. They tried to hush him up and he made more noise. He was desperate. He was at his wits end. He was not going to let the person who could give him sight, could bring deliverance, leave. This is when we get desperate with God. God will show up. It's like the story with the Roman centurion where he only wanted people who were desperate, who were willing to die before he would reveal himself as a fellow Christian. Because the others might betray him. They might turn their backs. When we get desperate with God, God will show up. When we put our whole trust in him, there is no other way. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel. And the book of Corinthians, Paul explains symbolically that this rock was Jesus. That's why I'm telling you, when you get to bitter waters, when you're at your wit's end, that's when you need the branch. And did all drink the same spiritual rock, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. I'm going to skip some of this because we have to finish, but it took them 2 years. Well, actually, it took them 2 months, 49 days to get to Sinai. But there was a day of deliverance coming. You may have wondered when your day of deliverance is coming. If you could stand with me. Because I want to let you know that an overcomer, there is an end. There is an end. There is a deliverance that comes. Yes, there is. Exodus 19:10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. If you're going to be an overcomer, you're going to be set apart. Right. You got to be separated.
That's right.
And let them wash their clothes. You got to get cleaned up. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down. In the sight of all the people. Amen. The Lord is going to come down into your situation. The Lord will come down in your situation, but you can't just approach him any old how. You got to prepare. Amen. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud. See, there was an atmospheric change. I'm telling you, what I preached last Sunday is something you really need to think about. There was an atmospheric change and a thick cloud upon the mountain, the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai at the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. There's coming a day when the Lord will call, and we're going to go up. Amen. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I want to encourage you this morning. Be an overcomer. You come to your Red Sea. You don't know what to do. The Lord is telling you, go forward. You know why? He's about to do a miracle. He's about to do a miracle. You've gone into the desert, into the wall. You don't know how to get through, and you come to some bitter waters. Look for the branch. How come there's a tree in the middle of the desert? I will never leave you nor forsake you. There will be a tree. God pointed him out a tree and said, you take that tree, cast it into your bitter waters. Your waters will become sweet. Now, that doesn't mean you leave the desert. There's still more things for you to go through. But eventually, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts and our heads. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. Help us, O God, to be overcomers, to use these examples. Lord God, that we need to leave Egypt, that we need to, O God, be...